Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to look at the Lordship of Christ just in Sunday school here. Now oftentimes folks will talk about the Lordship of Christ, and it's been a hot topic for many years in professing Christianity, the Lordship of Christ. People, you probably heard folks say, just make Jesus Lord of your life. You ever heard that? You hear that oftentimes in professing Christianity circles. But God beat everyone to it already, because God has made Christ Lord. And He's been Lord since eternity. And He's Lord now, and He will be Lord forever. But sometimes when folks talk about that, they talk about just make Jesus Lord of your life in salvation. And then when you start to talk to the folks about what they believe, you find out they really don't believe He's Lord. We believe from the Scriptures that Christ is Lord over all. Not just salvation, but providence and everything. And we'll look at that today. How Christ, the Lordship of Christ, in light of Him being Lord over all things, over all people, Lord in salvation. He is Lord, period. He's Lord. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. We'll look at verses 20 to 22. And keep in mind, the Lordship of Christ, which He wrought, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet. So here the Scripture plainly declares that all things are under Christ's feet. That means He's Lord. That means He's King. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. He's Lord over all things, and He's Lord in the church too. He's Lord in the church. So some folks have suggested a person can be saved, but not make Jesus Lord of their lives. That's why they say that silly statement, just make Jesus Lord of your life. Because when they say that sometimes, they're saying that, well, you're a Christian, but you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life because you're struggling with all these kind of things. Well, I've got news for them. The Christian life is a constant struggle. And the Christian life is a constant struggle from beginning to end because we're sinners. Because we're sinners. But we who believe are saved sinners. Saved sinners. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. We acknowledge His Lordship. We don't make Him Lord. We acknowledge His Lordship. He's already Lord, beloved. He's already Lord. So this statement, just make Jesus Lord of your life, and you're supposedly a Christian, and you just make Jesus Lord of your life. Number one, we don't make Jesus Lord. And number two, the Scriptures never proclaim that Christ is not Lord to the believer, because Christ is our Lord. And if you go through Scripture and you read different portions, you will see the people say, Lord, the leper, Lord, if thou will. You will see it constantly, constantly. So it's an acknowledgement of who Christ is. So the statement that religious folks make is totally foreign to Scripture. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. As I said, we don't make Jesus Lord. God has already beaten us to it. Acts 2:36 says this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God hath made Him that. And God made Him that from eternity. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's the Creator of all things. So let's look at some points from Scripture with this in consideration. That the Scriptures declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn, if you would, to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 5, and then put your finger in Acts chapter 10. The Scriptures declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only in salvation, but, beloved, He's Lord over all. He's Lord over all. Zechariah chapter 6. He's Lord over all. The Old Testament proclaims this and the New Testament proclaims this. Zechariah chapter 6 and Acts chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The Lord of all the earth. And then turn over the New Testament. So there's the Old Testament declaring this truth. Look at the New Testament in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The New Testament reveals who He is. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Look at this. He is. See, we don't make Him. Look at what it proclaims here, beloved. He is Lord of all. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. We acknowledge His Lordship. He's already Lord. He's already Lord. So let us consider the first point. The Lordship of Christ manifested. Manifested. In Acts 2:36, it says that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. God manifested the Lordship of Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. And we see this in our text, in verse 20 of our text. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Mankind denied Christ's Lordship by crucifying Him. God vindicated Christ's Lordship by resurrection, by resurrecting Him and exalting Him to His right hand. Peter the Apostle declares in Acts 2:36 again that God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'll read Romans 1:4, which says this, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ in the sense of declaring Him to be so through His resurrection. Look at Luke chapter 2 verse 11. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David the Savior, which is, what's His name? Christ the Lord. That's His name. That's one of His titles. He's the Lord. Whether people believe it or not, we don't make Him Lord, do we? That's one of His titles. That's who He is. So we see the Lordship of Christ manifested right there in Scripture before us. The next point is the Lordship of Christ is universal. Look in our text in Ephesians 1. Look in our text here. The Lordship of Christ is universal. Now the way some people say it's just in salvation. No, it's universal. His Lordship is universal. He rules and reigns. He rules and reigns. Look at this in verse 22. And God hath put all things in God. It says, and hath put all things. Well, who's the one who did that? God. Put all things under His, that's speaking of Christ, feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. This is what God did. This is what God did. God did this when He set Christ at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, in might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over all creation. There's not a atom in this world, and we can't even see them. There's not an atom in this world that Christ doesn't know about it. And that Christ doesn't keep it and hold it. Every single, do you know that by Him all things consist? Do you know that? Do you ever see in the summertime, you see them dust floating? You can't see them in the naked eye, can you? But when the sun comes in and you see all that dust floating, do you know that every single piece of that dust is ordained by God to be floating there? A.W. Pink brought that out one time. And I just sat there stunned as he did that. There's not a thing that's not that he doesn't keep in place. His lordship is universal, beloved. It's universal. Mark 14:62, and Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He has all power, beloved. God has exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God. Acts 5:31, him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He gives to us repentance and forgiveness of sins. And it's only through Christ. It's nowhere else. Nowhere else. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Do you know that the lordship of Christ is so universal that one day every single knee shall bow? Every single person that's ever lived upon this earth will bow, will bend their knee. Folks who said, I don't believe in him, they're going to bow to him. They're going to bow to him. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Think of this. Think of the very ones who yelled out, crucify him. And we know that we would have done the same thing in our natural state. We know that. But think of the ones who, the Roman soldiers who beat him. Wherefore, Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10, or 9 to 11. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Only salvation in the name of Christ. No other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks will one day acknowledge the lordship of Christ. Oh my. And our prayer is that they do it in this life. Because if they only do it in that, there, they are doomed. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is the holy, spotless Lamb of God, and He's exalted in heaven. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And He has sat down, beloved. He sat down. The reason He sat down, because the work is finished. Oh, if we could just rest in that, hey, it's done. Now, the high priests of old, they never sat down. There was never any rest for them. When they were in the Holy of Holies, there's no chair. But Christ has sat down because He is the... All those high priests were just pictures of Christ. And He's done, and the work's done, and He has sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And what do believers do? Looking unto Jesus. We just look, don't we? We just look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning, and the finisher. It's finished of our faith. Of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So where is Christ right now? He is reigning right now. My Savior, and if you're a believer, your Savior is reigning right this second. And the next one, and the next one. And He will never ever abdicate His throne. And no one will ever take Him off His throne. Because why? He is Lord. And His Lordship, as I said, is absolutely universal. People may deny Him. People may shake their fists at Him. It don't matter. He's still Lord. He's still God. He's still upon the throne. And I just thank God that He revealed Himself to me. Aren't you? And He didn't leave us where we were. Oh, what a merciful God. And He has all power, beloved. Turn, if you would, to chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. He has all power. And all that power has been given to Him by the Father. He's Lord over everything. everything. And think of that. He's Lord over everything. And then think of and he was that in glory, wasn't he? Before he came to this earth. Think of that. He's Lord over everything. What condescension. That Christ himself, the one who's Lord over everything, becomes a man, the God-man, to redeem his people from their sins. Let us just think on that. Our God did that for us. For us. Look at Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Notice the words, all. The one word, all, power. If someone has all power, what's that mean? It means they have all power, doesn't it? And this power is universal. This lordship is universal. Whether people believe it or not, he is Lord over all. And as I said, we do not make him Lord. Not at all. Not at all. The believer acknowledges his lordship. Lord, only you can save my soul. You are my shield. You are my defender. Only you. And it'll cheer our hearts when we think about these things. It cheers our hearts when we think that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. When we meditate upon that and just ponder the fact that he's far above all princes, principality and power and might and dominion. Look at Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. He is far above all principalities, all power, all might and dominion, everything, and I mean everything, is under his dominion. Everything. And when we as believers think of that, what comfort that gives us. What comfort that gives us. The one who keeps my soul is the very one who has power over everything. No wonder Paul wrote, who can separate us from the love of God? Right? Oh, goodness. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Everything is under his domain. Looking in our text again, it says, all spiritual principality, power, and might, and dominion. He's Lord over the angels. All the angels. Holy and fallen. And the holy angels, they gladly acknowledge his lordship. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. The holy angels gladly acknowledge Christ's lordship. Look at Revelation chapter 5. And they willingly perform his bidding. And when we get to glory, oh my, we will be worshiping our Lamb. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about. Hold on, before we go too far. Folks, sometimes they like writing books on what heaven's all about and what we're going to. I like just to read in Revelation what it says about heaven. This will warm your heart, beloved. This will warm your heart. Look at this. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. A number that no man can know. Saying with a loud voice. Now what are they doing? Worthy is the Lamb. Why is he worthy, beloved? Because he has all power. He has all dominion. He is Lord over all. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all they that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This is the one spoken of in that text who keeps our souls. No matter what we go through on this earth, this is the one who keeps us. No matter what confronts us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah is my shepherd. The one spoken of here, worthy is the Lamb. Oh. We also know that our Lord and Savior is Lord over political rulers. It says all principality and power and might and dominion. Folks got in a big old uproar over the election, didn't they? And folks still getting in a big old uproar. Scripture declares this: the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he will. The Lord does whatever he... Do you know, our leaders just do God's bidding. And they don't even know it. You know, wise rulers acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, the Lordship of our God. Nebuchadnezzar said this in Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. Those who walk in pride, he brings them low. He brings them low. Now, foolish rulers, turn if you would to Psalm chapter 2. Foolish rulers deny the Lordship of Christ. They deny, unbelievers deny the Lordship of Christ. But foolish rulers especially, they deny his Lordship. Look in Psalm 2 here. Look at this. Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed. Oh! They shake their fists at God. They try to take God out of everything. Right? They try, don't they? They try. Look at this. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Feeble man. Nothing but dust to the Lord. The Lord shall have them in derision. There's our King. Right there. Oh, He's Lord. He's Lord. No one can make Him abdicate His throne. We're just animated dust. We're created beings. He's Lord over all. Do you think of this? I was thinking about this week. The Lord's hanging on the cross, right? And He had said that He could call. I think John and I have talked about this before. He could call 12 legions of angels, He said. 12 legions of angels. That's 6,000 angels per legion. One angel killed 100,000 men. Do you know what that means? The whole world could be wiped out. Multiple times. Yet He hung upon that cross. And He paid everything that God demanded for my sin and for all the sins of His people. And He cried, "It is finished." And He's victorious, beloved. And that's our God. That's the one who rules over everything. Oh, what comfort and peace that gives us. Oh, what comfort and peace. He's Lord over everything. Do you know He's Lord over all nature? Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says this: "The earth is the Lord's." This is His earth. This creation is His. Everything. The stars, everything we see and don't see is His. He created, He just spoke it all into existence. That's how powerful He is, beloved. That's our God. That's our Savior. And He is Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded upon the seas. And people are saying that God's done all He can do to save people. Now the rest is up to you. That's utter foolishness. Huh. Oh my goodness. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. This makes our salvation even more amazing, doesn't it? That the God of heaven, the one who has all power, has saved us and redeemed our eternal souls. My! What a great God we have. He's Lord over all. He's Lord over every person. Look at Ephesians 1:21. It says here, every name that is named. He's Lord over the saved and the unsaved. He's Lord over everything. This is who the God of the Bible is. Not what some man's telling people, saying lies on God. This is the God of the Bible. This is the reality of it. What we look, and we're just looking at what Scripture says. That's all we grace preachers do. We look at the Scripture and say, this is what it says with trembling hands. This is our God. This is the one who's redeeming my soul. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. And it's marvelous. And it gets more and more and more and more incredible as we pilgrimage through this world. Oh, what a God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's only one name. There's only one. That's Christ. That's Christ. He's Lord over everything. Lord over the church. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is the head of the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Why is He head? Why is He the preeminent one? Because He has all power. Because He's Lord. Because He's the head and we're just the body. He's the head. He's the one who gets all the preeminence. I was talking to Jean-Claude and we were talking about how we just want to preach Christ and just put Christ before y'all. Because He's the only hope. Not the preacher. I'm a saved sinner. Just like everyone else. Look to Him. Look to Christ. He's the one. He's the one who can keep us. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. And only Him. And He gets all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the preeminence. He's both Lord and King. He's both Lord and King of the believer. He's not just my Lord. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my everything. Oh, what a great God we have. And let us, this last point here, let us consider this. The Lordship of Christ is eternal. It's eternal. His Lordship is not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It's forever, beloved. It's forever. What does that mean? That means our salvation's forever too, doesn't it? He's Lord. He's Lord, beloved. He was Lord not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's Lord from eternity. He's Lord in this age. He's Lord in that which is to come. And He's Lord in eternity future. His Lordship is eternal. Because He's eternal. He's eternal. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 9. Put your finger in Isaiah chapter 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 9. Where is Christ now? Beloved, He's in heaven. He's gone into heaven. And the Scriptures declare this to be so. And He is reigning. He's reigning right now. That brings me great comfort. The one who keeps my soul is the one who reigns right now. And His lordship, His reign will be eternal. And it is eternal. Look at 1 Peter 3, verses 22. 1 Peter 3, 22. Who is gone into heaven, that's where He is, and is on the right hand of God. Look at this. Angels and authorities and powers being made what? Subject unto Him. This is why we say, if God don't save you, you'll never be saved. Because everything is subject unto Him. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's doing. It's not man's doing. It's God's doing. And if you're saved, rejoice, beloved, rejoice, rejoice, because you have obtained mercy. Mercy. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increase of His government, and this ties into how His lordship is eternal. Of the increase of His government in peace, there shall be what? No end. Isaiah 9, 7. No end. No end. It will never end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. No end. No end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. His reign is forever. Luke 1:33 says this, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. That's us. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. No end. It'll never end. Never. So the lordship of Christ, which is clearly proclaimed in Scripture, as we have seen, is confessed by all those and only those who savingly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge His lordship. We don't make Him Lord. We acknowledge His lordship. Look and live, isn't it? We've looked and we've lived. God's made us willing, and we've looked and we lived. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Someone asked Paul one time, what must I do to be saved? There's nothing you must do. Paul's response was magnificent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you believed? The redeemed of the Lord acknowledge. We acknowledge the deity of Christ and the fact that He is all power. We acknowledge that He's absolutely sovereign and that He presently reigns in glory. And believers confess Him as their Savior. Confess Him as their Savior. And they rest in His redemptive work. All that He accomplished on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. And believers bow to the lordship of Christ. Acknowledging His lordship. Acknowledging His lordship. We don't make Him anything. He's already Lord. And if you're saved, that Lord, the Lord, has had mercy upon you. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before Thee, acknowledging Your lordship, that You are Lord over all, over every circumstance in our life, over everything that comes before us, that You are Lord. Help us just to trust Thee and just to rest in Thee, Lord Jesus. And we give You all the glory. And we love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.